slavery is not a thing of the past. In fact, it's more than ever a thing of now. The Global Slavery Index reckons some 70 million people, including millions of children, are effectively enslaved. Other figures are a little lower, around 40 million. But whatever the number is, it is large. It is larger, in fact, than it ever has been in history. And slavery persists, despite it being officially illegal in every country on earth. Well, fighting modern slavery has become the burning issue for John McCarthy. He's a Queen's Counsel, a former ambassador to the Vatican, who now chairs the G20 Interfaith Forum on Modern Slavery, lobbying the world's most powerful leaders. He also heads the Sydney Catholic Archdiocesan Anti-Slavery Task Force. John McCarthy, welcome to the year that made me.
Delighted.
What lit your flame when it comes to slavery?
Being in Rome, being in the Rome of Pope Francis. I went over to Rome in 2012 as our ambassador. Amongst my instructions from the foreign minister was to be proactive in relation to human rights and religious freedom. What I discovered is that while I knew what the word slavery, forced labour, human trafficking all meant, the actual context of them was not something that I had ever fully comprehended until I became an ambassador. I also discovered that this was an issue that had not got through to be a top-level world issue.
What was the thing that you realised that you hadn't known?
The size, the extent, and the misery, the enormous misery of exploitation, of the degradation of people across the world, and that this was a growing problem, not a diminishing problem in our world.
So what does it look like in the modern world?
It looks something like you described in your opening. The biggest single group that is involved is the 16 to 18 million people that are tied up in supply chains, that are working in factories, working on land, working in residences, or being exploited in their labour and these sorts of things across the world.
So what's the difference between a lowly paid worker, as many are across much of Asia and Africa, and a slave?
A slave can't walk away. In many areas, slaves are immigrants. They've had their passports taken from them. They can't leave.
So I want to try to get a visualisation around this, because most people, when they hear slavery, still think of the Atlantic slave trade, the terrible crime over 300-odd years which brought now African-Americans into the system. That's where people have it in their mind. Is that kind of property slavery, chattel slavery, people being bought and sold for their labour, does that still exist? Is that
the main part? It does. There are sections of Africa where this goes on. The Sudan is one place. But the most notorious group associated with that in the world is Boko Haram in Nigeria. You recall the case of the 242 schoolgirls. They were sold into slavery by Boko Haram. So yes, don't have the idea that the chattel slavery has gone away. It has not. It is not the same sort of proportion as was the slavery of the 18th and 19th century, but that image still has reality.
Obviously, if you're selling them, if Boko Haram is stealing school children and so on and selling them on as slaves, that infers a buyer. So the other part of it is someone who's quite happy to own teenage girls as slaves.
I'm afraid that's so. There are people of background similar to where Boko Haram is drawn from who are prepared to continue to have people in slavery. But so it's not seen as just being regional. That exploitation can be found in restaurants in Sydney. It can be found in agricultural land in California. It can be found in clothing factories in the UK.
Is there slavery in Australia?
Yes, there is.
What does that look like?
Well, there are two sides about this as to the immensity of the problem. Until recently, in the Global Index of Slavery, the number was put at around about 4,000 in Australia. They were seen to be agricultural workers. There were some factories. There were brothels that were involved, and there were restaurants in various parts of the city. More recently, those figures have been revised to about 15,000.
Now, these people who are being brought in as migrants, you know, with the intention that they will be effectively enslaved, are there people who are simply enslaved here?
Substantially, they're people who have been brought in. But it can occur to young Australians where there's been family breakdown, where there've been separation and disruption. These people can be groomed into these sorts of fields. It is on a much wider scale in the United States of America. The great exposure of Australians to the consequences of modern slavery and human trafficking are through the goods and services we purchase. We have a situation where supply chains for goods and services are tainted in many parts by slave-like practices and forced labour.
You're listening to John McCarthy, anti-slavery campaigner, former ambassador to the Holy See, otherwise known as the Vatican. When you talk about supply chains, how would we know necessarily if we're buying a T-shirt whether or not there has been slavery involved in the production of that?
You wouldn't. In most cases, it needs to be investigated. What is known is that there is a garment industry that uses slave cotton, where cotton is harvested by forced labour.
So how do we stop this?
You stop this by stopping the goods and services coming through those sources, getting that out of the supply chain.
So I won't know what is the dodgy supply chain when I go down to buy a T-shirt for my kids. Well, so who is going to be able to...
We're talking the government, we're talking corporate Australia, we're talking the big churches in this country. They have supply chains. They know where their goods and services come from. If we use our usual relationships with people, this is corporate Australia and government Australia, we can bring about a situation through contractual relations that we will only deal with people who do not have slavery and forced labour in their supply chains. This is something that should be done. Understand, while the present situation persists, we are in a worse position than the situation before 1833 when slavery was abolished. At least before slavery was abolished, that's the old slavery, the taxpayers didn't pay for the slaves or for the manacles. But now we have a situation where if we don't find out where our goods and services come from, we're handing money over to criminals. We're using taxpayer money in public procurement for the purpose of paying criminals, because that's what is involved. These are breaches of the law, that you should not be buying these sorts of goods from these sorts of people. And that's the beginning of the answer. When you have a situation where you can't make any money out of this sort of thing, it is going to stop.
There is a modern slavery bill currently running its way through the federal parliament. One of the suggestions being made is that there should be a federal anti-slavery commissioner. Would you support that?
Yes, I do. But one of the things that is important about that legislation that is worth noting, there is a provision that says that the federal government, in terms of its procurement, will annually publish a report about what steps it's taking in relation to where its procurement is coming from. This seems to be an occasion on which there can be serious demand that the government bring about contractual relations where they will not deal with people who cannot assure that their supply chains are not tainted with forced labour or with slavery-like practices.
You were in the Vatican with Pope Francis. What do you make of him?
On this issue, magnificent. He had a background in this. Sadly, Buenos Aires is a hub of trafficking in Latin America. The Pope knew much about boys and girls who were exploited in this area, and he gave many lurid speeches on this. The first thing he did when he became the Pope was he turned to the Chancellor of the Papal Academies, Monsignor Sanchez Sorondo, and he said to him, I want action on human trafficking, including organ trafficking. He wrote this on the back of an envelope, which is one of the most famous envelopes in Rome, and it's in a case somewhere of his saying. The Pope has been the most internationally recognised campaigner against this since his period as Pope. He has brought about the Declaration of Faith Leaders in 2014, where they joined to say that they would work together in their communities to bring about the end of modern slavery and human trafficking. Pope Francis wants this eradicated in our generation, but the Pope believes we can win.
Do you believe we can win?
Well, I believe we can win. I believe that we can organise to slavery-proof the supply chains of Australia, corporate Australia, public sector Australia, and civil society Australia. And I believe the rest of the world can do it. But I want to emphasise that the Pope is the one who says, do it now.
Well, 2012 was the year that made you. And that circles us round to the Pope again, because that was really when you got involved in this. Your song is the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Why this song?
This is the great hymn of the anti-slavery cause. I want people to believe that the struggle is on again and that we are going to take this out. You've got to get stirred up about it. Battle Hymns of the Republic help do that. Wilberforce's famous statement, which is the greatest in the anti-slavery cause, applies. You may not do anything about it, but never again can you say you did not know.
Indeed, in the stirring anthem from the US Civil War, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, John McCarthy, so good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Stand up and get marching, folks. The Battle Hymn of the Republic, Civil War anthem in the US, performed there by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, the song chosen by my guest for the year that made me, former ambassador and now anti-slavery campaigner John McCarthy.